Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark.
Stories for Dark and Stormy Nights, Volume 8, Story 1. This story occurred in the Missouri Ozarks in the Stone County area sometimes in the 1880s, as related to me by my grandmother when I was a kid. Her mother, Nora, had witnessed this as a child, along with her entire family. The family had gone to bed early that hot, clear summer night, as was the custom in those days on a family farm in the Ozarks. Sometime way in the night, a ruckus erupted out in the barnyard. Nora and the rest of her family awoke and looked out their windows to try to see what was going on. All the animals in the barn were going berserk, kicking, etc. A couple of milk cows in the barn lot were running along the fence as fast as they could, mooing in fear and trying to get out. The chickens were flaying and screeching in their hen house. In other words, general chaos. The family watched in awe and fear as a blue sphere of light, bright and about the size of a basketball, slowly went around the barn at barn window. It made a couple of passes, then headed towards the farmhouse. The stock dogs ran in fear and hid. Most of the family got under their beds, but they could see through the open screen windows that the blue sphere passed from window to window outside the house. The children were screaming in fear, and the adults were petrified. The blue sphere always stayed at window level, and it made a buzzing noise. After a couple of passes around the house, the blue sphere left, and the family rose back to their windows and watched it go down into the woods in a holler. They watched it until it finally went out of sight. It never returned. Other neighbors nearby began telling strange stories of a mysterious blue light a few days later that they'd seen at night around their farms. No phone, electricity, etc. in those days, so everything traveled by word of mouth. No, these were not the spook lights of Joplin. Joplin is a long ways away from Stone County. This story has intrigued me for decades, but not much is written about it, except for what I just related. Story number 2. My grandfather was not a man to make up stories or tell tales. He told my father about when his own father had died, sometimes I guess in the 30s. As he told it, my great-grandfather had a mole on his back, and one day, a mule kicked him right where the mole was. It became infected and eventually turned into apparently an open wound that kept getting worse until he was bedridden. The family lived in a two-story house with a barn fairly close. One evening when the family were pretty sure my great-grandfather was soon to die, the entire family were out on the porch visiting with some relatives that had come. It was after dark. A blue ball of light came out of the sky and landed on the barn roof ridge. Oddly, no one was terribly frightened, and they all watched it. It slowly traveled the roof toward the house. Once it had gotten as close to the house as it could along the barn roof, it went across in the air to the open window of my great-grandfather's room. It went inside and was only in the room for a second or so before coming out and flying off into the sky. My great-grandfather had passed away. My grandfather always believed the light was an angel that had come to take his father's soul. This occurred in north-central Arkansas, probably not terribly far from where that other story took place. My family has a long history in that region as basically farmers and hillbillies. They never really had any money and essentially just scraped by. However, unlike that other story, the animals did not go berserk. Story number 3. I had a K5 Blazer in high school, and me and a buddy would constantly push our luck to see how much we could go through before we got stuck. I swear, half the fun of off-roading back then was getting unstuck without help. After several deep mud encounters, I learned that locking the hubs before going into trouble was wiser than digging to reach the hubs. One of our favorite places to wheel was a riverbed that ran under the interstate. When the water level was lower, some good rock crawling could be had. One summer evening, right around sunset, we pulled in for some adventure. We had hit all our usual obstacles, then angled toward the river bottom. At the time, the deepest part of the river was maybe 3 feet deep. We had pulled along the shore and were in loose gravel and water, so before I got stuck, I stopped and got out to lock the hubs. I had locked the driver's side and was squatted down on the passenger side to lock the hub when I stopped cold. I had the same feeling that I typically get when my body stops me just before I step unknowingly on a snake. I quickly looked for the cause of alarm, but didn't see anything on the ground. Then movement on my right caught my attention. I saw a grayish blur, a figure about 25 yards away, moving quickly from the brush towards the other side of the river. By quickly, I mean faster than I can sprint, but across uneven terrain and water. I don't remember how long it took to get back in the truck, but remember my buddy looking as shocked as I was. I dropped the blazer in reverse and floored it with all the caution a teenage boy would muster in that situation. I was bouncing along the rocks and didn't lift off the gas until the back tires hit pavement. I doubt it took that long to cover the 400 yards or so, but I remember it felt like an eternity, and I was wishing I had the top of the truck the entire trip out. Once on the road, we drove to town and stopped at a gas station. Neither one of us had spoken or said a word during the whole ordeal, and once stopped, we both kind of looked at each other and did the whole, "Did you see that?" scenario. A couple of weeks later, I happened to catch on the news that something called Chupacabra had been claimed to have been sighted around the area. I looked up photos on the net, and some of the wild outlandish depictions of the thing looked remarkably similar to what I think I saw. It was a full year before I returned to the area, and even after 2 decades and a couple of paid vacations to the Middle East, I still don't feel comfortable down there around dark. I don't know what it was, but I know it wasn't anything I had seen before or since. Next story. In central Pennsylvania near Harrisburg, there's an 18-mile-long rail trail along Stony Creek, Stony Valley Rail Trail. This trail follows an old railroad bed that was built in the 1800s and passes 3 or 4 old ghost towns. These towns supported the coal industry and turned to ruin once the coal stopped being produced around 1930. Only old foundations remain of the town and are kind of hard to find unless you know where to look. I found this trail a few years ago when on a trip with my son's scout troop. It is really one of the most beautiful trout streams I've ever been on, and so remote that you can fish all day without seeing another person. Stream is usually just out of sight of the bike trail. I decided to take a 3-day backpack fishing camping trip with my 2 sons last year. Well, it took us longer than expected to find a site to camp the first night. It's not called Stony Valley for nothing. It was getting close to dark, more than I expected after an 8-mile hike, when we finally came to these strange old ruins. The large spring filled a concrete 10x10 basin and was covered with a new locked grate. It then flowed into an old 100-foot-long concrete trough and emptied into a 30x30 basin that looked like it was breached about 50 years ago. Besides, this basin was a perfect camping spot, so we pitched our tent there. We were all very tired and it was getting dark, so we got out our sleeping bags for the night. Right away, I started to hear voices. They were right at the edge of understanding, but not loud enough to make out. I knew there wasn't even a remote chance that we were close to anyone, so it had me a little spooked. I didn't want to worry my sons, so I sat there listening for about 30 minutes before I fell asleep. I woke 3 or 4 times that night, and the low voices remained the entire night. In the morning, we broke camp and followed a hiking trail up the hill and came to the ruins of one of the 3 ghost towns that I had heard of. A sign pointed down the trail we had just walked up and read, "Cold Spring." About this time, I mentioned that I didn't sleep good because I thought I was hearing voices the entire night. I found out that both of my sons had the same experience. My older boy had stayed up 2 hours before he could sleep. After researching later, I determined that we had unwittingly spent the night where the old hotel resort had been around 1910. The town was named after the famous springs that remained cold during even the hottest summers. I wondered ever since if maybe we heard the voices of the old townspeople who didn't want to leave the area. Probably the strangest thing that's ever happened to me in my life. Next story. When I was about 17, I was walking back home through the field behind our house from roaming around in the woods when I heard someone riding a horse. People all around us owned horses, but it would have been unlikely that they would have been riding them on our farm. The sound of the horse, the saddle sounds, and the actual vibration from the hooves gradually grew louder and louder. The only problem was that I couldn't see anyone riding a horse. Then the horse broke into a gallop and was heading straight toward me. I still get chills listening to the sounds of this invisible horse charging me, as I could hear it breathing loudly and hear and feel the hoofs hitting the ground. Then, as it ran by me, sounding, feeling as though it was a scant few feet or less away from me, I could actually feel the wind from it as it went by. Not sure why it happened, but I was super freaked out and hightailed it back to the house as fast as I could get there. Turns out that the man that settled on that property in the 1830s and 40s was kicked to death by a horse just on the other side of the hollow from where I was at. Next story. I've had a lot of incidents happen to me over the years as I own a cabin up in Idaho. I spend about 6 months or so up there every year. I've been stalked by a cougar, never saw it but knew it was there. My snowmobile broke down in about 10 inches of snow and I attempted to walk back the 2 miles or so to the cabin, but it was getting too dark so I doubled back following my tracks, only to see something had been following me, track for track, and I could see it was clearly a cougar. Walked up on a bull moose in the creek close to the cabin and had a good 10 to 15 second stare down with it where I thought I was going to pee myself, but it turned and walked off, thankfully. The only thing that really creeped me out, though, that I experienced was one night I was camping up on a mountain near a lake with a buddy of mine. We had hiked up there to do some trout fishing. We had settled in for the night, had our supplies up in a tree about 20 feet or so. I don't know what time it was. I never thought to check. But sometime in the middle of the night, I woke up suddenly to this very strange grunting, huffing sound. It was pretty loud, so I figured it must be close to the tent. My buddy was still asleep. I figured it was a bear due to the grunting and huffing, so I tried to stay quiet as I could and not move any, if at all. Tried to reach down for my gun, but I was a little nervous about causing any attention towards me. Well, I laid there for a couple of minutes, I think. I'm not really sure how long it was. The adrenaline was building up in me. Whatever was out there seemed to move away a bit from me, and then suddenly I heard a thwop kind of sound, and then it sounded like something was crashing down to the ground from the trees, and then nothing. This woke my buddy, who saw I was awake and started to talk very loudly, saying a few profanities, scared him half to death. Next thing I hear something crashing in the other direction from us, hauling butt through the forest. Took us a few, but we finally got up and turned on our lanterns and got a fire start again, and saw that something had untied our supplies from the tree and sent it crashing to the ground. Don't know if a bear is smart enough to figure that out or not, but we didn't stay up there after that. We waited until morning and hiked back down. I've been up there several times since then and nothing odd has happened. No idea what that was all about. Maybe just a freak accident? The rope managed to come untied at the same time as the bear or whatever was in our camp? I don't know. Still scared the crap out of me, either way. Next story. It was around the fall of 1997. My aunt and uncle had a house in the Poconos in an area called Paradise Valley. Behind their house was Devil's Hole Creek. My ex and I would often hike in the woods behind the house, fish, or relax by the swim hole. One day we decided to go down the road to an area, State Game Lands 221. The area is a little over 4,600 acres. There is a parking area just off the road, and the trail is well marked from there down to the creek. Nobody else was in the parking lot. We had about an hour of daylight left, and we were just going to walk down to the creek and look around a bit. So as you walk downhill towards the creek, the trail is cut into the hillside. On your way down, there is a small bluff that you can't see over the top of. Now that we were losing daylight, my ex decided it was time to go. After about 5 minutes or so, I became aware of something that seemed to parallel us as we were walking out. Up over the bluff I described earlier. I remember stopping to act like I had to tie my boots, but in reality, I just wanted to stop and listen. I heard a couple of steps in the leaves after I stopped. Whatever it was also stopped. I couldn't discern whether it was bipedal or not. Started back up the trail and heard whatever was up there paralleling us and continued to do so. At this point, I became a little concerned and told my ex what I was hearing. She then heard it as well. We stopped walking. It stopped walking. She was now more scared than concerned. So I bent down and picked up some rocks and threw them in the general direction of where the footsteps were coming from. I figured that if it was an animal, it would run away. It didn't. So being the jokester I am, I gave her a big wide-eyed look and said, run. I started off running and she was scared poopless. We made it back to the car without any other incidents. At the parking lot, I could see the area that was over the bluff, and there was nothing I could see. It was dusk by now, and I wasn't going into the woods. At no time during this encounter did I feel threatened or scared, just concerned. Not sure if it was a deer, bear, or something else. Next story. We would get together as rural neighbor kids and explore. My neighborhood consisted of kids in a 2 to 4 mile radius. One day, a kid about 1 mile from us was out messing around in a creek and found a human skull. Naturally, the sheriff got involved, then the coroner, and eventually the local university archaeologist. But we got a good look, too. Turned out that the body was of a female traveler buried in a shallow grave close to the Oregon Trail, one of the many minor ones that fed into it across Nebraska. They probably found a nice spot for her near the only tree they could find, which would be near a spring-fed creek, and eventually it moved over to her. The trail runs through a large portion of Nebraska and follows the Platte River, but the Platte is sandy and most of the water in the summer is below ground. It's not uncommon for it to be 2 to 6 feet deep. So cholera maybe became a problem as more and more people drank the water they could find. Thousands died on the trail during a cholera epidemic and were buried in unmarked graves in Kansas, Nebraska, and Wyoming. I've heard of several more such finds over the years. It makes me wonder how many farmers years ago dug up people while farming and moved them or tossed the remains. If you own property with a trail on it, you're likely to run across something. Next story. We were deep into the wilderness area in Pike National Forest on a peak between McCurdy Mountains and Buffalo Peak. We had been moving low along ridge lines for a few days, getting to know the area as we worked our way further northeast. While we moved, we would establish vantage points over our surroundings while we rested or camped for the day to gain a better understanding of the area and where we were located relative to where we had been previous days. We moved quietly, tactically, and spent the trip thus far enjoying the calm and peaceful wilderness. We practiced stealth camping, and we were about 1.5 miles from anything that would be considered a trail when we set up camp overlooking a draw that ran into an adjoining valley. Camp was set just as darkness fell, and we went off to our tents rather quickly. No fire, no lights, just tents and rest. Shortly after becoming dark, the fairly regular windstorm started up, and it became very windy. Gusts that occasionally moved rocks and pebbles on the ground into the tent walls were not uncommon. About an hour or so later, it slowed until there was an absolute dead air, no wind and no movement at all. Perfect silence. I heard one of my friends unzip his backpack to retrieve an item, and I called over to him quietly to see why he was awake. Can't sleep, got to pee. So he undid the zipper on the tent fly and went to handle his business. Less than maybe a minute or so later, maybe more, I heard a very distant and resonating thud, 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 thud. It sounded like an axe against a poplar, as if someone was felling a tree late at night. The sound was faint, but it was enough to wake up a member of our party in another tent, and they asked quietly, "What the hell is that sound?" I replied, "It must be so-and-so building an outhouse. He left to go pee a few minutes ago." We all heard footfalls, and the member who went to go pee returned and asked if the wind blew our tent pegs out. "No," we replied. And he asked, "Who was hammering?" "We thought you were building an outhouse," we laughed. Thud, 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 again echoed throughout the valley. As I sat up and listened, I could determine that the sound was very far away. "How far?" a member asked. "I'm not sure. It's hard to tell with the acoustics of the valley and rocks." We all laid back down in our bags and listened for the next hour and a half. With only gaps of a few minutes, the sound would return. The same pitch, the same echo, and the same apparent distance. After a while, one of the members asked, "Is anyone awake?" And we all replied in the affirmative. We all exited our tents and scrambled up onto an outcropping to determine the exact location of the noise. Again it came, and once on the outcropping, we realized that the sound was not as far away as we had thought. It was only a few hundred meters down the valley that we had to travel through the next morning. We sat and mused at what the noise could be. It was rhythmic, and we all agreed that it sounded like someone chopping trees. Illegal logging was our first thought, but there were not any roads to drive the timber out from this far into the wilderness areas. Maybe it's a park ranger cutting wood for a ranger station? There were no stations or man-made structures anywhere on our maps. Maybe it's a guy who lives out here off the grid, you know, like illegal style? We broke down our tents and packed up camp. We slept together, the five of us, in a small defile surrounded by trees up from our first spot. It offered only two approaches and could be fought if necessary. I and another member planned a new route to avoid the areas we descended deeper into the valley the next morning. We made the plan and intended to stick to it. We all rotated on a fire watch just in case and got some sleep. The noise stopped at around 3 a.m., as I was told as I came on my shift, and soon the sky began to lighten as the sun was coming up. I woke everyone and we made ready for movement. We stayed high up the sides of the valley to avoid going in deeper, but we hit a cliff and were forced lower and lower and lower. Upon entering the split in the valley, we came across the aftermath, and it was unsettling. Still to this day, it gives me goosebumps. As far as the eye could see, there were what looked like axe lashings in trees everywhere. Not claw marks, not machete strikes, axe marks. Someone had spent around 8 hours chopping at trees. Not to fell them, just chopping the living hell out of trees. All of them. Everywhere. No tire tracks, no boot prints, no nothing. Someone came out very far out and released some very unhealthy rage or anger. We hunkered down and called for the Forest Service on our radios but got no reply. We marked the grid and got the hell out of there. We did a 26-mile day that day and slept that night, tucked into a rock brace that was almost totally inaccessible. Upon waking up the next day, we came down onto a doe path that crossed into a stream, and that's when we saw it, a slick bottom boot print up the riverbank. That day we made a 27-mile movement to our pickup point, and it was one of the most intense moments of my life outside of the military. It may seem stupid that something so simple would be so unsettling, but even as well-armed as we were, it's crazy to think someone hiked in 3 days just to disfigure trees. Next story. You know, sometimes a place is just bad. I live in the woods in upstate New York, so it's desolate by city standards, but not truly desolate. You'd be hard-pressed to be half a mile from the nearest house or road. Yet, there's a place within walking distance I can't force myself to venture into, and I've tried many times. A couple of miles from my house, down an old logging road, the world ends. Let me paint you a picture of this place. A dirt and gravel road cuts through mixed deciduous forest alongside a pretty meandering brook. Hills rise up 100 feet on both sides of the road, almost like the road is in a chasm, but with a more gentle slope. It feels like the forest is on top of you while you're walking, because it is. After a mile or so of this claustrophobic walking, the road ascends, leveling with the surrounding terrain. You'd think that would be comforting, but that's when the weirdness begins. Perched on the hillside, it's practically a cliff. An abandoned cabin hangs over the brook. It's in bad shape. Whoever built it did a damn good job, though, because it's been vacant since the early 90s and still hasn't collapsed down the bank. Anyway, this cabin is straight out of a horror movie. Think Evil Dead, but the cabin is just there. It's not really scary. I don't believe in ghosts or anything supernatural, so I've never forgotten the creeps from dilapidated buildings. Further down the road, that's when the creepiness creeps in. A half mile past the cabin, there's a plot of state land. It's fairly disused. In the fall, it gets some use by hunters, but other than that, it's basically another bit of woods. There's a dirt parking lot that fits way more cars than necessary. Aside from the occasional DEC trucks, there's never more than a single vehicle in the lot. The old logging road on the state land rises steeply through the woods. Footing on the gravel can be a problem after a storm, but otherwise, it's not too bad. It keeps you away from the ticks, which is good in my book. After a while, there's a fire ring in a tiny clearing on the right. Beer cans scattered around, but they look old. All the times I've walked up there, I've never seen fresh ash or charcoal from the fire. That might not seem weird if I didn't hear footsteps and twig snaps in the distance every single time I go there. I'm a curious guy, big into science and the natural world, so I've tried to force myself further up the hill. Every time I stop about 200 or 300 feet from the top, I'd never seen what's over the crust. All I know is my body physically shuts down. My legs quake under me. The closer I get to the top, the closer the twig snaps sound, and the more time seems to stand still. I can't recall hearing any birds chirp near the top, and now that I think about it, even the bugs seem to leave me alone. Like I said, the world ends. My hands are shaking as I think about this. Today was the day I finally forced myself up that hill. My heart was beating so hard, I thought it was going to rupture my chest. I mean, I'm level-headed and I don't normally get scared in the wilderness, but this was fear like I've never felt. Something was watching me. I didn't see it, but I didn't have to. I don't know if it was a bear or deer or two-legged critter. I just know I wasn't alone up there. I crested the hill and saw something bizarre. Surrounding the trail, three cairns formed a triangle formation. Painted on each one in what I hope was paint were some kind of strange runic letters. I looked it up and think it was some sort of futhark, but my mind was racing, so I'm not 100% sure, and there's not a chance in hell I'm going back to look. I felt myself being pulled towards the cairns. It wasn't just gravity working on my wobbly legs. There was some kind of force propelling me down the hill. I don't even know how I stopped it. I think I fell to the ground and scrambled back up the crust, but again, those few moments are a haze. I managed to get back down to the parking lot without incident, but the whole way I heard twigs snapping behind me. I didn't dare look. Running in sneakers on loose gravel down a steep hill isn't exactly safe. I needed to keep my concentration on my feet. The whole way home, I felt like something was following me. I never saw anything or anyone. A couple cars passed me, which gave me a little sense of relief, but once they were out of sight, the creepy feeling came back. Even now, I'm kind of worried. Something's outside my house. I keep looking out the window and I keep seeing nothing. I don't know who or what was up on that hill. I just hope nobody else stumbles upon it. Next story. A few years back, a friend and I were out hunting. I turned my blue tick hound loose near a creek bed, and the two of us stood at the edge of the woods and waited. Soon my old hound treed and we began walking towards her. This is when things got strange. We got in about halfway to her and she stopped treeing. This has never happened with her before and I thought it was odd. So we stopped and listened for a few minutes to see if she would pick it back up. My buddy and I both had our pistols on us and I was carrying a bolt-action 22 rifle. I set the rifle down, leaned it against the tree listening for my dog. Out of nowhere it sounded like the woods were falling down on our right. My heart hit my throat and we both pulled out pistols and turned on our headlamps. There was nothing there. Whatever was moving in our direction fast, then it just went silent. No animal, no noises, nothing, just the trickle of the creek. We hightailed it out of there, so fast that I left a 22 against a tree. When we got back to the truck, there was my hound lying on the tailgate, shaking. I went till the next morning to go back for the gun. Needless to say, to this day neither of us have any idea what it was out there. We have hunted those woods since without incident. However, my hound Dixie refused to go in that particular patch of woods ever again. She would hunt in other areas of the property, but never again on that creek bed. Thinking about it still kind of creeps me out. Next story. Once when I was a teenager, I was going to meet my younger sister for a picnic. We would meet in the hills at a distant creek flowing through a redwood grove. She left walking a couple of hours ahead of me, and I rode my horse. This was the best horse I have ever had in my life, and I've had 12. Tamar and I were scooting down the steep, grassy mountainside to the grove where I would meet my sister. All of a sudden, the mare whirled around and bolted back up the hill. I said, "What's the matter with you?" I turned her back and she went, still spooking and jumping. All of a sudden, I heard the most devilish, high-pitched shriek. Then it would change to an unearthly wailing, then deep snarling growls. The hair on my neck raised and all I could think is that that thing, whatever it was, it must have my sister. Tamar kept going down to the redwood grove because I asked her, and she knew what it was. She smelled it. What courage. I dismounted and tied her to a tree, which she immediately tried to pull back. She was fighting to get out of there. The horrible screaming and wailing continued. It sounded like a woman being killed. I found a branch like a club and went to fight it. Then, across the creek in the dappled light, I saw something moving, flowing over the rocks like melted butter. It was a mountain lion. Later, I found my sister up the canyon at an old barn. Her eyes were as big as saucers. She had heard it too, and she had gotten out of there. Tamar saved my life many times from predicaments. I got us both into, and she lived to be 40 years old. Next story. It's been many years since this happened to me, and I had originally thought a mountain lion was the cause of it. But now, I'm not so sure about the mountain lion. In the early 1990s, my best friend and I went camping. It was the weekend before Memorial Day, and we were camping at a small campground off the road between Lake Castaic and Lake Hughes in Southern California. The first night was so annoying due to all the gangbangers from L.A. showing up and making noise all night that we packed up and left on Saturday morning. I had heard about a place called Sawmill Mountain from one of my co-workers, and it was close by where we were at, so we headed up there. Sawmill Mountain is off the road between Lake Hughes and Gorman, and to get there you need to travel several miles from the turnoff off an unimproved dirt road to the campground. When we got there, it was midday on Saturday, and we were the only people in the campground. The elevation was about 5,000 feet, and it was nice and cool up there with a nice view of the valley down below. It was a great campground. We pitched our tents and set up camp, then ate some lunch and sat down to relax in the shade. My buddy went inside his tent and took a nap and went to my tent and did the same. After a short nap, I decided to do a little exploring. About 25 yards from our camp was a trail, and I walked down it for about 150 yards. Off to the side of the trail, along the tree line, I heard something moving and looked in that direction, but thought I saw a glimpse of something light-colored, but it stopped moving. I was still in condition white and didn't think anything was wrong, so I kept walking a few more yards. I was noticing that the wildflowers were blooming everywhere and enjoying the views, and all of a sudden, I began to think of that movie Predator, where the monster could see people, but they couldn't see him. Then I noticed that everything had gone absolutely quiet. No insects, no birds chirping, nothing. I did a 360-degree turn and didn't see anything. I guess maybe the sudden silence had triggered some primordial fight-flight response in me that made me think of that movie. Anyway, I was armed at the time with a Smith & Wesson 10mm, and I made sure I had my hand on it. The gun gave me absolutely no comfort whatsoever. The feeling of dread and despair was so immense, I wanted to panic. I felt frozen in place for a few moments. Then that little voice in the back of my head kicked in and said, "Get out of there now." I didn't run because all I could think about was that a mountain lion and running would make it chase me. I couldn't see what was watching, stalking me, and you can't shoot what you can't see. I started calling out to my buddy as loud as I could and walked quickly back to camp. Even after I got back there, I still felt pretty freaked out. My buddy was there drinking a beer, and I told him what happened. "While you were napping in your tent, I did the same thing," he said. "I felt the same way you did." I've never felt a feeling of dread like that before, and haven't since. It was so powerful, it was crippling. The rest of the weekend was uneventful. Some asshole in a Subaru brat came up and drove around the campground like he was in the Baja 500 around sundown, but nothing else happened. It was a great place to camp, but neither of us went anywhere alone. We'd been back several times on other weekend campouts with larger groups of friends, and nothing odd has happened. Then, one campout with the same buddy a couple of years later, something did happen. Once again, we were the only two up there. I think we were playing hooky from work and gone up midweek. Anyway, we had a campfire going and had just polished off a couple of thick ribeyes. I believe it was summer at the time. I was telling my buddy what a big wall of flame a 10mm would produce, and he says, "Let's see it." So, I shot off a magazine from it. As predicted, lots of flame and noise. I holstered a gun and sat down by the fire. "You remember that creepy feeling when we first discovered this place?" my buddy says to me. I said that I did. "It's back." I didn't pick up on it this time, but he did. We both had our guns out and flashlights in our hands, and my buddy thought whatever was causing it was watching us from beyond the camp. We walked towards it, shining our lights up in the trees, thinking it was a cougar or bobcat, but there was nothing. About 10 yards from camp, all of a sudden, something growled at us. I won't repeat what my buddy said, but we hightailed it back to camp as quick as we could. When we got there, we lit every lantern we had and threw a bunch of termite-eaten pine wood into the fire to get things as bright as we could. That night was a tough one to sleep through, but nothing bothered us after that. Fast forward to about 3 weeks ago. I was talking to my buddy by text message about what we've been calling the ghost of Sawmill Mountain, and I had said I thought it was a mountain lion. What he said blew my mind. He is pretty sure it was a Sasquatch that day many years ago. He pointed me to a bunch of Bigfoot websites, and I did some reading, and I have to say I'm starting to agree with him. From everything I've read, they stay close enough to us that they can keep an eye on us, and unlike the hippie view that they're gentle guardians of the forest, they're actually an apex predator. I think on that day I was either on the menu or had made the thing mad by scaring off what it had been after. I also think the growl a couple of years later was a gentle reminder to stop making so much racket in its territory and stay in our campsite. Also, I found out that the Pacific Crest Trail that runs from Mexico to Canada through California, Oregon, and Washington cuts right through the Sawmill Mountain campground, and the websites that track Bigfoot sightings have had a few in the general area. I live in Arizona now, but I'd like to go back there someday to look for evidence of stick structures and other signs of Bigfoot or whatever that was out there.